one of the like one some of the conversations we have online, or you check in on me, which I appreciate greatly. For me, getting checked in on is like, dude, thank you. Like, I'm sometimes I'm just in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Hey, but how come you never answer me when I say I love you?
Because, you know, it makes me feel weird. I love you too, brother.
Thank you.
Every now and then, like, I'm in the middle of fucking nowhere and nobody fucking knows where the fuck I am. And I have this realization, like, hey, dude, nobody knows. You know, when we were filming that show, you guys dropped me off in a random street corner in TJ, and I just jumped out with my backpack, and you're like, where the fuck are you going? Don't worry about it. And just fucking disappeared into the night.
I know. like Batman.
Like Batman. That's just how I live, dude. I haven't grown up. Like how you describe the whole aspect of kind of being immature when you come out of prison. Like, I don't know how to live like a normal person. So in a lot of ways, I'm still living like I'm fucking running some sort of weird fucking clandestine shit somewhere or something. But I'm a business owner now. there's stuff that has to be done. Like, I design clothing and I run classes and I have public speaking engagements, and all that's been like so bizarre for me to kind of transfer into while I'm still living like out of a backpack and just being a hobo about everything. I've seen you kind of this business aspect of you and how you're kind of transforming your life experiences into like legitimate projects, not only business projects for yourself, but like some charitable aspects and some of the outreach stuff you're doing. Can you talk to us a little bit about that aspect of what you're doing now?
I've been working a lot with the prisons in Arizona. This month I actually start traveling I go to Colorado to the women's prison. Then I go to Texas and California. And I've been traveling, sharing my projects. I created some programs out of the life that I lived. I created a USP Max. It's a reentry program for not just people in prison, just people that make themselves be in prison, you know? And I have an officer resilient program. I have a Wonder Woman program. I have, I work with refugees too. you know, ever since my life changed, I donate a lot of time, I volunteer a lot, so I get to work with a lot of different people, and it's helped me, I guess you could say, open up these different avenues of business where I create programs, and I guess you could say I'm a teacher now. Teach people how to live.
When you talk about this, these programs that you're doing, like you're basically going back to some of the places where you came out of, and you're doing some of the shit that you wish somebody had done for you,
mm-hmm.
right? This whole aspect of self-rescue, which is at the end of like, you know, the I had this moment in therapy where like I realized that who I am now with my kid and how I am with her, like as a dad, is something that my mom didn't have. So she made me that way so she could enjoy that. Right. Like I found this like, so that's bringing your life experience and some of the horrible shit, some of the positive shit and all that, condensing it down into something you can share with others as a teacher. Like it's difficult to become a good person that can transfer that to other people, you know? Have you noticed that the charity has made your business grow? Is because the people talk about charity and why you should add it into your business modeling or program. I just don't know how to be any different. Like I learned a lot of my business modeling from my dad, and my dad was like a mafioso type dude. You know, he would, he had a business. It's still around. He had this business. They make electrical light posts and transformer boxes and shit like that. And for a while, we were doing good with it. And my dad would just randomly do charity shit, like buy uniforms for the soccer team, buy this other thing for like a church organization, and just to this day, just random people will like will seek him out. Oh, your dad bought this boat for this project we had. So here are all these abalone cans, like from nowhere. Some of his acts of kindness from way back in the past just show up. Have you noticed that kind of like coming back to you in other ways as far as your growth?
I mean, I started doing it from, you know, being a kid and not being able to help my mom and my sisters. So it started from there, but as I did it more, it started helping me. It started changing me. And I was just telling the girls, because on Thursdays, I spend most of my Thursday at the women's prison at Perryville. And I was telling them yesterday, you know, thanks to them, my public speaking, even my acting, everything's gotten better because...
Sharpening.
I'm there sharpening it with them every Thursday, and I make them get up and speak too, they've made me better.
Yeah.
So like, to me, it's not work no more. It's family now. So it has made my business better in the aspect that it's made me better.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and you know what? A lot of DOC staff has taken notice to my programs. They're like, I just had a meeting with the psychiatrist for DOC in Arizona, and they were like, what are you doing different? Why is it working? And I said, because I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And I show up no matter what's going on in my life, whether I'm getting divorced or homeless or whatever it is, I show up every Thursday.
What is a Thursday, what you look like in there? Like, describe that for us.
It's going to sound crazy to most people, but I feel at home. You know, it's great that they let me out. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's for me. Like, ask me if I would want to go back to any of the fucking places that I fucking was in. Fuck no. Like, I had a legit invitation to the place where I came out of in training. No.
You know, and I think it's more because, like, I wish someone would have done that for me. Because if maybe someone would have done that for me, I wouldn't have went back to prison all the times that I did.
What are you talking about in these meetings? Like, what are you going through with them? Like, what is that like? What's going on in there?
I call it Jesus with a ski mask.
Jesus with a ski mask. Jesus was a legitimate gangster.
So if
Jesus was a legitimate gangster, he rolled around with, you know,
yeah,
the apostles.
Crew, everything.
Dude.
Yeah.
He was anti-state.
Yeah.
You know?
He
respected the government. He said, like, hey, give to Caesar. He knew. He knew.
He was a man. And you know, I tell people, if you ask me, like, if I knew that if I carried that cross and where I was going to go with it and what they were going to do to me, I can't promise you I would make it up that hill. You know what I mean? So, like, to me, he's a gangster of all gangsters.
I've always, like, when I read, you know, the Bible, and when I was, like, going through, like I went through Catholic school and part of my growing up, and we'd read all this shit. And I was like, I would imagine what it would be like back then, just rolling around with my squad. It's a gang.
It's the same thing.
It's a gang. And, you know, some of the shit they would go into, and then, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's relatable in a weird way for me. Like, I've been in a gang like that of people. So I know what that is.
It's camaraderie, man. I think it's embedded in us because, you know, we come from tribes, whatever, like camps and stuff like that. So
is that what you try and kind of create in some of these programs that you're working on?
Yes, and I pull them into the point where, you know, it's not shame. I'm there to teach them. I'm there to teach them because, believe it or not, like I remember there was this one time when I first started trying to change my life and I got on my knees, right? And nobody knew where I lived. And I got this book in the mail. It was kind of weird. And it was from an anonymous follower.
And sent you an anonymous
to
package.
My house.
Dude, that's suspect as shit. Okay, go on.
Okay, so I open it up and it's a book. And it's just a small note and it says, I follow you. I think you're great. I think you need this book.
The gift.
And it was a book that it said morals.
Okay.
So I started opening it up and I was like, yeah, I don't have that one. Yeah, I didn't have that one either. And I went through the whole book and I remember getting to the last page and I was like,
shit.
Wow. I grew up with no morals my whole life.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm like this little kid trapped in this grown man's body. And I got almost excited and I turned the book all the way to the beginning and I started doing like the homework on it.
Yeah.
And I started going through the moral stuff. And I mean, it started to change me. Because I started to realize, so like education is really big with.
Do you think, when you're explaining with these programs, I mean, you have to be one of them. There's no way you can replicate that. Basically, you can't have somebody from the outside try and. Tell them how things are.
I always say it in my videos. You can't have a suit tell my guys how they're going to live because they're going to question everything about you.
Yeah.
And that's just street life. You've been through so much that you question everything.
What do you think they recognize in you? Experience? That you made it? The fact that you made it and now you're there, I imagine, is what they're recognizing.
It's more than that. Like yesterday, the girls were telling me because, you know, I've been going there for a year now, like on my own time. Like they were asking me yesterday, and they're like a family now to me because like they'll send me letters, call me. They didn't trust me at first.
They were suspect.
They were suspect, and they said, ah. You're gonna quit sooner or later. All the programs, because remember, I'm working with all the close custody and high custody girls.
Okay,
so it's
for people that don't know what that means. Can you explain what that would mean?
These are all the ones that beat up everybody else.
Yeah, these are difficult to manage individuals within the system.
Yes.
And yes. That's who you pick.
And they're very mad.
And that's who you pick to help.
And that's who I picked to help. And they've been my star. They're my first graduating class. They're my first 10 girls that are like my mentors, wrong the strong mentors. And a lot of them have time to still do, but we're starting a I guess you could say like a good gang inside of a prison to like motivate and help these women see that there's different, you can make different decisions even in there.
I wanted to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of our Patreon members for their generous support. It's the only way we can bring some of these amazing people behind the microphone and have some of these amazing Midnight of the Soul conversations for you guys. If you're not already a part of the Patreon community, please consider joining us. We have our giant online training catalog for you guys to have access to, as well as some exclusive Sneak Reaper Industries merch drops for you guys at the dead drop tier. I would also like to thank the company Sneak Reaper Industries, one of our main supporters and a company that provides some of the most amazing urban wear, survival specific and cutlery out there. Your support not only makes this show possible, but also supports some of the charities that we run, including the Fighter's Kitchen out of Puerto Escondido, where we're supporting some up-and-coming fighters under the tutelage of Eddie Farrell. Thank you for your support, and again, please consider joining us on the Patreon. And now back to the show.
When you're in there and you're trying to like show this path to some of these people in there, and you get that suspicion, standoffish nature that you know you get from an environment like that, I guess. How do you break some of these things down with somebody? I guess being vulnerable, sharing like, hey, this is all the ways that I fucked up. Is that it? Or is it, how do you open that?
I show up every day the same. Like not one day I show up mad, not one day I show up happy.
Consistency.
I show up every day the same way with the same attitude, everything.
Consistency.
Yeah.
That gains access.
Once they start to put their guard down, they start to listen and they start to see that it actually does work. The warden was telling me like half of the girls stopped smoking cigarettes. A lot of them, it went from doing only one class to now 8 classes. And it's all because the girl, I always tell the girls, it's you. You guys are making this program work. It's not me. I just gave you the tools. I gave you the backpack. You're the one carrying it. So it's a lot of it's education. A lot of it's building trust with them. But it's a whole package deal. But it's working. And I know it's working because if someone would have done it for me,
it would have saved you a lot of...
It would have saved me some time.
I have seen some of your clients at your business side. You are... Like I've trained with a few people and I've seen a few people's work as far as physical rehabilitation and training. I've seen some of your clients. Have some of your clients just fucking progress. You have a way of doing things.
Yeah.
That motivates some people like myself that are pretty broken and are pretty much on our fucking last leg. I keep saying that I'm on kind of my last leg, but it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that I've like, if I repeat it over and over again, so I'm trying to learn to be better about, I'm trying to be better about manifesting shit like that. I'm pretty beat up right now and I'm going to be better about it if I can get stronger again. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? This other side of what you're doing, kind of rebuilding people.
I it goes back to the same thing, man. Just teaching, you know. It's funny how most people think that they know how to sleep. Most people think that they know how they drink enough water. Like I make like a file on everybody that I work with, and I diagnose where I could help you the most. And it could be something small to telling you how to make a protein shake to something big to fixing your macros and your food and how much food you're supposed to have. A lot of the clients that I have come in as body transformations, but they end up staying with me. And like, I think the longest client that I have now is he's been with me for 7 years now since I got home out of prison. Because I don't know, man, I sit there and I teach you as I'm training.
I've seen videos of you and I've seen you teach in person, and you're fun and you're like, we're excited and doing shit like that. But when you start working, you're like, vzz, like a laser.
I turn into a coach, and
it's cool. It's a cool. I don't know. I see you start focusing on like small corrections and just getting people to a better place.
I believe this, that when I was learning about fitness, like the book side, because I knew about fitness you know, doing the hands-on work and all that stuff. But when I learned about the books and all that stuff, I started learning that not everybody's the same. So not everybody could be put in the same category. Everybody's femur is a different size. So not everybody's going to squat the same. So when I zone into my clients, I'm watching where your toes are at, how your knees are moving, everything. And it's what makes me, it makes me good at my job, because then I can make corrections. And I have a very, what is that? You know how companies have that sign where they have 35 days, no injuries?
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like, I have a very high,
no injuries.
None of my clients, one of my clients got hurt, but it was the only time he worked out without me. And that was it. I'm very, very cautious. I'm very, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. So, you know, and I'm just a different kind of trainer. I teach you, I tell you stories. That hour is going to go by so fast that you're going to be like, oh, that's it? We're done? And it's all reverse psychology. It's something that I learned in prison. You know, if I can make you feel like you did something today and you leave, you'll be back tomorrow to do it again. But if I destroy you and make you feel like crap and you leave with your head down, you're not coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm building you. And a lot of trainers get it twisted. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that need, I guess, to be talked down to so they could do stuff. I'm not the one. I'll probably end up punching your face. So, like, I treat others the way I feel that I would want you to talk to me. And it works. You know, I got some pretty cool clients. I got the Adrian Fontes, the Secretary of State. He comes in the mornings.
It's a wild place to be in. It's surreal. Huh? You know, surreal. That's surreal.
Cops, you know, lawyers, all walks of life. A lot of people think that I train like tatted up guys, and I'm like, nope, far from it.
For people that don't know, like, can somebody like myself or like anybody out there like seek you out for some of this? And like, how does that work as far as what you're offering right now?
Right now, I'm in person, I'm completely to the brim. I started my online a couple months back, and that's been, you know, doing well. So if anything, I'm taking clients online right now. You know, in person, it's been a little tough just because I can't clone myself right now. I'll figure it out later, yeah. But right now I can't.
Yeah, but I've seen, you know, we've been talking about your some of the programs you're trying to develop for people like myself who are traveling around, moving around. I'm always finding myself limited to, I'm not going to be able to travel around with a kettlebell, you know, and I wouldn't want to. And I've been, you know, training in different ways, body weight exercises, just walking daily, which is fucking great. For you, apparently. I wanted to run everywhere and just fuck myself up. You could just walk for a very long time. But for somebody like that, like the online material that you speak of, can somebody start online? If somebody like me then has like zero information on any of this, like is it viable for me to like figure out something online with you?
Yeah, I mean, online is. It's almost the same approach of having me in person. You know, I'm sharing the same information with you. We're texting back and forth. I do 30-minute Zoom calls every week with every single one of my people, and I keep control. Like, so I keep a set amount of people that I keep online and a set amount of people that I keep in person. So that way, I'm able to give the same, you know, quality to everybody,
because yeah.
You know, it's very important to me. It's my brand. It's me. So online, it's pretty much I send you your workouts. I send you your diet. I explain to you why you're doing it. We chat. The biggest thing is that I build confidence with my online clients, so that way when I tell them to do something, there is no questions. They do it. And I always tell people, like, test my pedigree. You know, my degree, like, go online, look at my reviews. I I'm good at what I do. I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. as far as your work, like what are you working on now, independently of the charity and the exercise? We were speaking about how when we ask God for like a task, he usually clears the board, you know. This just like everything kind of clears out of the way, and you kind of like both of us are in kind of the same space right now. We're trying to figure out what comes next. What's on the horizon?
My whole room is full of sticky notes right now because of everything that's happening. I don't know if I told you, I'm working on some books too. How to Diet Like a Mexican is one of them. It's a funny cultural book. I'm working on 4 books. Long-term projects. I have a ranch up north that I want to build for the women, to a safe haven to heal with animals and stuff like that. It's things that I feel like God's put in my heart. I'm also working on a project to build a boys and girls club in Phoenix in downtown, with ASU. My programs, the prison events. I mean, this morning when I was flying here, I was like, who would have ever thought that everything that I went through was going to be a big classroom for the world to not like make the mistakes that I made?
I think that nobody, like, I guess when you're on that trip, you couldn't. There's no way.
And I was like, how funny is this? Like, how?
It's absurd.
But like at the same time, like if you're not humble enough or grateful enough to receive it, it could go away really quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's only when you're moving, you know, when you're moving away from God, you know, the devil's doesn't give a fuck about you. He's all good. He's good with you, right? So when you're moving towards him is when he pops up a lot for some of us, I guess.
It's true, man. You know, I've been through some battles. These past couple of months have been really tough for me, but I've managed to. I always say, man, I'm like the king of getting up and brushing myself off.
Yeah.
I've done it a million times, and I'm gonna keep doing it.
The amount of fucking, you know, energy that run all the shit that you're running. Like I run a lot of stuff, you know, but I have a support team around me and doing everything to kind of like run a lot of this stuff. But just from a purely entrepreneurial like setting on my end, I'm always looking at ways of making things that are like experiences, things that I would have wanted out there that are not there. Like trying to figure out how to make something like that for people to access, I guess. Like this, you know, like I wish somebody would have a bunch of weirdos like us on and talk about some of the ways they made medicine out of the poison, I guess. You know, every now and then I have people here on then have this experience of revelation or whatever you might want to call it. People ask me if I'm Christian or whatever. I'm Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I was baptized. I still go to church. I have a weird spiritual background from my family and from some other experiences where I have a weird relationship to a saint of death, which may or may not jive with some people's beliefs out there, but it makes perfect sense to me. If you want to, you know, like they asked me about death as far as like a belief system, like death is pretty real. And, you know, Jesus defeated death. So how can you defeat something that doesn't exist? Right.
Yeah.
So in my faith practice and some of the things that I believe, it's just, she forms a part of just the reality that I had to go through and live through. It's a symbol, I guess, in a lot of ways, like a remember death or a memento mori. Just makes me remember that I'm still here. faith is kind of hard to like express sometimes out there, you know, because people question it. Like they're like, when you say, you know, you're on your path or you got on your knees, when you describe yourself as somebody that has found Jesus, for example, in this day and age, there's like a lot of hostility for that.
Oh, I know.
Right?
I know.
That's... Any sort of, and I get it. When that's revealing it or talking about it, all of a sudden is like you are either like on this end or on that end, you know? And it's, for me, like being open about some of my spirituality has been a pretty giant kick me sign and shit magnet. What's your experience been with being open about that?
You know, I always let my actions speak. Like the way I treat people, the way I speak to them, the way I hug them. Even the girls at the prison, they told me that, you know, when I hugged them, it didn't feel like weird, like when the males hugged them. And it's just how, I don't know, I really don't go up and tell people, hey, I'm a Christian. Like, you know, do I share? Yeah, I share if I feel the moment to share.
I noticed that about you without you saying shit about it. Like, I could tell. You know? It's like, you could tell. Every now and then, I've met a bunch of weird spiritual practitioners of different kinds out there. Somebody, hopefully we'll have him on the podcast. Oh, God, I don't remember his name right now. I'm blanking. I'm sorry. I was at an event in Arizona at this abandoned airfield. They have a bunch of like planes out there, like the Air Force.
Yeah.
It's a weird place. I was at an event out there, and somebody there was a Christian minister. Again, I'm apologize not remembering your name right now. I just had a concussion. He offered to pray for me, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are standoffish and things like that because of their perception of what they think I believe,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they think I have a weird spiritual background, so they assume a bunch of stuff probably about it. And I'm like more than excited about somebody praying over me. So I told him, like, can we walk? Because I told them, my issue is stillness, right? So standing still as you pray over me is not going to work with me. Can we go walk as you do it?
Yeah.
Said, yeah. He grabbed me by the arm, and as the sun was setting, he was like praying over me. I was barefoot walking on this fucking gravel road. At the end of it, he was like, you know, I don't know. I realized that a lot of the ways that I have been shown to be spiritual, because I'm fucking Catholic, has been through penance, you know, through
por mi culpa.
It's been through acts, through action, through example. Like I have this memory of, one of my best friends looks like Jesus, right? And every, like, they would do the crucifixion reenactment and he would get to be Jesus in it. And I remember having this weird moment once when I was seeing him going through the whipping. They would take these ropes and whip him with them, but they were not really hurting him. But there's a moment in there where I recognize him as both my best friend and Jesus, where I'm like, I wanted to fucking murder these fuckers that are beating him, you know? And I don't know, it's this weird spiritual relationship that is shown to us in Mexico, where you have to, like, you have to show up. Like, you have to show up, like, in person to that. You know, you have to, thoughts and prayers mean shit. You have to show up with a machete to defend, like, your neighbors if they get fucking bum rushed, or your best friend if he's getting fucked. Well, that's Christ-like, you know, that aspect of it, I guess. You know, again, it's different for different people, but for me, that's how it was. That's a good Christian shows up with a stick or some water for people that need water.
I had to learn. I honestly, like, the more I read, the more I actually like asked and explained this to me. And it's just like training. It's just like anything. Like the more you do it, the better. So the more I started understanding why he did that, why he got put on the cross, like everything, not just knowing the story.
Yeah.
Because most of us know the story. You know, he carried the cross, they killed him on the cross, he rose up on the third day, blah, 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 blah.
You found him. Like, he found you. Nobody intervened in that. It was you somewhere alone. Right? It was, which is interesting. Like, but that's a different experience than a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people get found, like some, they'll show up a group or like they'll show up to a church meeting or something like that. For you, it was like a direct phone call, basically.
I mean, I remember that night just getting up. It was like 2 a.m. and I went downstairs and it was completely pitch black. And this is, you know, it was my big house out in Cave Creek. And I just felt like I had never, nunca había doblado la rodilla. Yeah. I had never bent my knee. My knuckles were bleeding. I had never bent my knees. And that day, I felt like I had to. And I fell to the floor, and it was just me and him. I felt like I had, like, a direct phone call from him.
Yeah.
And it was, like, time to wake up because I have been doing so much bad stuff to not just other people, myself, my kids, like it, just everything, neglecting my kids, you know, I was just a bad person. And I didn't realize that I could change. Yeah. And from that day on, I started to realize that I could change.
That's an interesting aspect of your experience with it, that whole, it being like, it's just a direct phone call. A lot of people get, you know, pulled into a church or found by a pastor. And I appreciate all of that. I had a horrible experience with evangelicals and just organized religion in general. Mm-hmm. Growing up, when my brother passed away, some pretty predatory people showed up around that grief.
Yeah.
And took my family to the cleaners in a lot of ways. And that kind of made me angry at God in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, I understand.
It pissed me off.
Yeah. That's the number one reason why people stop going to church is because of other religious people, you know, and that's why I think I am the way that I am, because when I found him, or he found me, whatever it was, he called me, it wasn't forced on me. It wasn't. It was a phone call, and I decided to answer that day. And that's why I don't force it on nobody. I treat them with love and kindness, and they start to slowly see it, and they're like,
yeah,
there's something different about you, they tell me.
And when they ask, what is it? That's when you say, like,
that's,
yeah.
That's when the ski mask comes off.
Yeah. That's what I was like. It's like, soy yo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still have a complex relationship with it. I remember when I was still out there, a lot of the guys would do the sign of the cross on themselves before they would go out, you know, or, you know, they would when we would go to church for a burial and stuff like that, they would all repeat the rosary and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was always stone cold, dead quiet. And I would never move. And they would ask me, like, what's up? Are you an atheist? And I would say, I don't know. I believe something, you know. Like, why aren't you praying? And my mom and my grandma prayed enough, I guess, for me. Like, I'm still being protected by that.
That's what it is. Sometimes it's our mom's prayers that actually keeps us, you know, until we... I guess, you know, when I went back home to share my my story, my new walk, a lot of my old friends were taken back because they had never seen
shocking
JC that was calm, didn't swear, and was just smiling.
Were they what? Like, what's the trick?
Well, one of my buddies told me, "Did you take a pill?" And I was like, "What kind of pill?" And he's like, "Well, you're not swearing." And I was like, "Well, I try not to swear no more because I'm trying to be better. I'm not perfect." He's like, no, they gave you a pill. And I was like, well, then you need to take it too then. But it was so funny because I went to go share my story at this church in Aurora, Illinois. There's a lot of gangs over there. 21 gang members turned over their life to God that day up in front. And it was all because they had watched my transformation through my YouTube channel. Like, they saw me.
They saw the, it's real.
Like
it's, that, it's right there. Like, there's no denying it because they saw you from going to the being the gleeful, celebratory individual to, like, being this new.
I mean, you could see it in my videos if you go back to the old videos and to the new ones. And it wasn't me. It was God, but they saw it tangible after they saw it.
But it's like it was you, and it was God. It's the same. You know, that's right. That's, you know, that's how, I don't know. That's something I've, with me, that's what I've been, like, I struggled with this whole, you're not going to see him. You know, he's not going to show up. And then your 10-year-old writes a letter and puts it in an envelope and says, "Hey, you're going to talk to your friend JC tomorrow? Yeah, cool. Give him this." I didn't ask her to do that. She did that all on her own, and that is,
you know, people don't realize that's the beauty about how God works.
Yeah,
it's never late. It's always on time. And I needed that letter, like, especially right now with everything that I'm going through.
Yeah.
I needed that letter.
Yeah, that's.
And.
That I've learned, like, I was always looking in the wrong places. I was like, is he going to show up in the sky? Nah. Is he going to show up, like, in a, like a weird storm, like Mufasa? You know, just the clouds.
Problem, is that we want like a big old movie entrance.
I want a burning bush. I want a Mufasa in the sky. But sometimes it's just a 10-year-old being absurdly beautiful and writing something from the heart to a stranger, right? Out of nowhere.
I mean, as soon as I started reading it, my emotions started, and I was like, man, did I need that in my heart right now?
Because,
you know, a lot, I don't share a lot of my personal life, but, you know, I'm always trying to get better, and I've made mistakes and stuff like that. So I've had to, readjust my whole life in the past couple of months, and that letter right there, just, you know, it was, I know it was him.
Yeah. I know it's not easy, this whole aspect of transformation and changing and having people that, like, followed you from the start and they're fans of you then. Like, I was having this conversation with Avi on the way here. How I used to, like, 6 years ago, I would do classes out in the middle of nowhere, showing people how to get a handcuffs and how to make weaponry out of anything and just be the most capable that they can be with what they have, right? And then I would go out on a Saturday night with all the students and drink everybody there under the table. And then the next day show up, sober as shit, and just
do it all over again.
And someone wouldn't show up to the class, and I found, like, a glee in that for me. Like, look at me. Like, I could do all this shit. I'm stronger than them, or I'm, like, somehow proven. No, I just have a high tolerance for alcohol because I'm a horrible alcoholic. And that's nothing to be fucking proud of. No. And it starts shifting, you know? I still have people that show up in my life that knew me then, who now know me now. And they're like, I mean, you're kind of the same, but you're like a bit more mellow. Like you're not in a hurry. You're not in a hurry anymore. Like it's like what changed? And I'm not hiding anymore, I guess. Mm-hmm. The whole aspect of running, still running though. I'm not hiding, but I'm still running. Like I'll admit to the fact that I'm still kind of on the run. You know, from what I have no fucking clue, but I'm still fucking running.
Yeah, you'll put your backpack down when you're ready.
Yeah. The whole stillness aspect again. That's that we're on the opposite sides of that.
You know, and I would have never in a million years would have thought, because you know it was one of the biggest things that I struggled with when I got out. I couldn't sleep, and I would go 2 hours, 3 hours, and I would start to catch up, and I would start to see stuff. Yeah. I had to learn to do so many things.
Yeah, I still have to learn how to stand still. Okay.
And even sitting still, like it's gonna take time. But like, I don't know. If you don't do it, then how are you gonna get better?
If you want something you've never had, you have to do some shit you've never done. Yep. And I guess a big part of this conversation is about that.
And you know, I believe that people come into your life for a reason. I believe that some are for a season, some are for long term, some are for life. And I believe strongly that we met for a reason, and you know, that's why we connected the way that we did, and you know, now we're friends, and now with this letter and everything, I mean, we're pretty much family now. So you know, if you ever need me, just I'm a call away.
I'm gonna call you about getting myself back into fucking shape, because this year has been, I think, on my end, I realized that maybe you showed up on this side of things to kind of help me figure out how to sort out my house.
and
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, man.
JC, thank you so much for this conversation and coming down and having a little break in between some of these conversations. Sure. Outside. If people want to find out more about what you're doing, your work, where can they seek you out online?
Wrongstrong.com. I mean, pretty much if you Google Wrong and Strong, everything will show up.
Cool. Thank you for showing up.
Thank you for having me.